This is y'all lucky day, three in a row. Looking at this, being trained, that's what we're talking about. Setting the stage so we can the story continues. And as the story continues then, what we want to do is I'm going to carry you into the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, and I'm going to carry you into our study going through Mark. And so in the next few minutes, I'm going to try to gel two things together. Because you see, I'm still in the process of having my senses trained too. It is a constant battle, and I need constant help. So when our kids in, when I was asking, how do you know a 9-year-old boy, how does he know the difference between good and evil? Genesis asked these questions, or Genesis 3:5 said, "For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Before the fall, what did they know? Only good. Wouldn't it be a better world if it had stayed that way? Leave that apple alone. But they didn't. So after the fall, they knew evil. I say this, it's not tongue in cheek. How do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between good and evil? Have your senses been trained to know the difference between good and evil? And if you think you're not going to be challenged, think again. You will always be challenged because this is ever before us. So what we have to think about is going back to the Hebrew, book of Hebrews in chapter 5, we're going to just listen to this thought, and I'm going to give it to you real quick. Called by or from humanity. In the Hebrews, it talks about a high priest who was called out of humanity to be the gateway before God. The high priest that was called out could have compassion on the other people because that high priest was a sinner himself. And then when he's called to serve, we're going to see it's going to be completed. And this is what we'll read in just a second. Jesus Christ completed his training, his senses of obedience by suffering. And then after he completed that, then we're going to see he was called to a resource and he became the eternal salvation. But after that, it's our job. We're called to maturity. We're called to practice the principles. Now let me read you the scriptures real quick here. Hebrews 5:2 says, "He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself is also beset with weaknesses." That's, you know, one of the things about being a preacher. I know this turkey. And I know his weaknesses. So when I see your weaknesses, understand. Understand the struggles. Because I got my own boatload of weaknesses too. Jesus Christ came in human flesh. He knows. He could have empathy. And so when this happened, Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Have you been through some hard stuff? Are you on number 3 of 10? Yeah. And what do you learn through suffering? Obedience. You know, a lot of our Christian walk will not be complete without suffering. So many of you are in the process of suffering right now. That's a truth. You are suffering right now. But you know what? You learn from it. If Jesus Christ had to suffer to learn obedience, why are we any different? And then we go on and we see Hebrews travels and says, "Having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." You've got a connection. One who knows the weaknesses, one who was complete through suffering, but now who is the source of eternal life, now who is the source of helping you in and through your suffering. But do you see a little word that's underlined up there? What's that word? Do y'all like to obey? Do we have something inside of us that kind of rebels against obey? If we want the eternal salvation, if we want the resource here, we've got to obey Him. That's part of training the senses. We have to obey Him, meaning Jesus Christ. And so when this occurs, He tells us, look, but solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's it. Who was it, Vince Lombardi, that said, practice doesn't make perfect? He said, perfect practice makes perfect. We've got to practice. We got to how often? You got to train your senses. How often? You got to discern between good and evil. All of these things are happening right in here. So therefore, we've got to say our senses must be trained. Now, it's easy to say an 8-year-old has to have his senses trained. But what about a 90-year-old? No. Okay. 80? 70?
I'm younger than you.
What about this young guy over here? Do you have to still work on your senses? Yeah. You know what? Because he's losing his hearing. Not really. Oh, but he is. We still have to work on our senses because sometimes we get dull of hearing. And so therefore, our senses must continually be trained. Who's your primary trainer? The Holy Spirit. Who's your secondary trainer? Parents, and you know what? Many of our parents are gone. Who's our next trainer? Peers. Who's our next trainer? Church. Who's our next trainer? Christians. These are the guys that are here to help you and help train you. And we all need help in the training. So when we're feeding on the words, what we've accomplished right here, we had to deal with four major areas. We didn't see them right off, but the sin must be dealt with. That was in chapter 5, verse 2. So the sin issue must be dealt with. Secondly, suffering matures. Okay, now we've got reason why we're going through some stuff. The source of life is Jesus. And fourth, the senses must be trained. Okay, that brings the picture now together. Are you with me? We've got to deal. That's the reason we had to have a high priest. That's the reason Jesus Christ is our high priest. Because He dealt with He died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. He suffered for our sins and learned obedience to the Father. Now He is the source of life. So let's continue on with this picture right here. Because what we're looking at, we're seeing how these things begin to come together. For everyone who partakes only of the milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Are you still sucking the bottle? Now you might say, who are you to talk? I'm almost 70 years old. But I'm still asking you the question. Are you still sucking the bottle? Who is that's sucking on the bottle? It's those who are not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Because if you are accustomed to the word of righteousness, then you're going to practice that. And you're going to know the difference between good and evil. And when you practice that and you know the difference between good and evil, that's called meat. Accustomed to the word of righteousness. So, it continues on. Senses being trained. All right, I'm shifting your gears now. I'm coming out of Hebrews. I'm in between Hebrews and the book of Mark. And I'm saying, okay, in the training of our senses, we got to be in a position that we have new beginnings. And so we're going to be dealing with the number of 12. 12 is a good number. It's a complete number. 12 months in a year, right? After 12 months, what do you have? A new beginning. When you're training the system, the senses, guys, we got to have some new beginning. 12 tribes. 12 tribes of Israel. A new foundation. 12 apostles. A new world. Acts says these are the men who turned the world upside down. 24 thrones. A new worship. You got 12 apostles and 12 the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what it's going to be like when you get into heaven. You're going to have 24 thrones there. A new worship. So let me just kind of parenthetically ask, do you need a new beginning? Do you need a new foundation? Do you need a new world? Or maybe, do you need a new worship? I don't know where you fall into these categories, but all this is in the process of training the system. Okay, I'm moving you forward now. Here's a major thing. You are one in the crowd of many. Stallone, you are one in the crowd of many. Do you ever feel like you're pointed out? You are. You're one in the crowd of many. Do you ever want to be one? Or do you want to be lost in the crowd? In the crowd of many, do you ever want Jesus Christ to really just kind of point you out? When you get in the group of all of this need that's in here, do you want Jesus to listen to you? But there's a crowd of so much need in this room. Do you want Jesus to listen to you? Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. When Jesus had crossed over in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered round, so he stayed by the seashore. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. Oh, there's so many needs here. Do you need Jesus? Does your son need Jesus? Does your daughter need Jesus? Does your husband need the touch of Jesus? Does your wife need the touch of Jesus? You are one. You are one in the crowd of many. And did you know what he did? Did he listen to him? Yeah. He listened to him and followed him. But I want you also to know something else that's happening right here. You are not the only one in a crowd of many, but you are one. You ever feel like your needs are the only needs? Nobody can hurt like you're hurting. Nobody can struggle like you're struggling. I need all of God's attention. But the fact about the matter is, you're not the only one hurting. You're not. How did the scripture continue? In verse 25, it says, "And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had and was not helped, but rather had grown worse." And hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. You remember the crowd? Is anybody paying attention to that woman? Did anybody know what was going on to her life? Was she trying to say, hey, everybody, get out of the way, I'm hurting? No, she didn't. Silently, quietly. A woman who had an issue of blood now for 12 years. Socially, she was removed. Spiritually, she was removed from the temple. And she had spent all of her money going to the doctors. And folks, I read some of the stuff that the doctors would have done during that period of time, and none of it was nice. She spent her money. She went through it all. And you know what? She was none the better. The scripture continues on as we pick it up in verse 28. For she thought, if I just touch his garment, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garment? Does Jesus know when you're reaching out to him? Yeah. You're in a large crowd, shoulder to shoulder. And listen to these compassionate disciples. Here's what they said. And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and you say, who touched me? Come on, Jesus. I think that's what happens many times. We see so much around us. We don't see when Jesus really does a work. All we see is the crowd. Are you one? Yeah. Are you the only one? No. But when you reach out and touch, even though the people around you may not see what you're going through, when you reach out and touch Jesus, something happens. Here's, we keep on going. In verse 32, and he looked around to see the woman who had done this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. But I love these words. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. She had the guts to go through the crowd. She had the guts to do and be at a place that she didn't belong as far as the people were concerned. But when she got to him, Jesus said, what? What made the difference? Huh? Faith. That's what made the difference. Your faith. She would have never known peace. She would have never known healing if she had not have had faith. And I love those words. For the first time in 12 years, she had peace. For the first time in 12 years, she could go into the temple. For the first time in 12 years, she was not the social outcast. For the first time in 12 years, she felt strength in her body. When Flora and I were talking about it, she said she must have been an anemic. She must not have had energy. She must have felt though life was passing her by. But when she reached out and touched Jesus, things happened. You are the one when the crowds thin out. I like this. I really do. Remember, you are one, right? Remember, you're not the only one. But when the crowds thin out, you're the one. This is very special because we'll take on this and we'll see what Jesus was saying. In verse 35, he says, while he was speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue. By the way, y'all probably forgot the first part of the story, hadn't you? Jairus, there you go. At his age, he still remembers. Jairus, I love you, brother. Jairus, that's what this story started with. A father's heart who was broken because a father's heart had a 12-year-old daughter that was dying. And you think that Jairus wanted Jesus to slow down and talk to this other woman? But there's no record. He was walking with Jesus by faith. Your daughter's died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer. Only what? Believe. Wow! Don't be afraid any longer. Only believe. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official. He saw a commotion and people were loudly weeping and wailing. You know what? When people would die in that period of time, many times they would hire people to come in, weeping and wailing to show forth the sorrow and the agony. And he entered in and he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. Wow. And what did the people do? They laughed at him. They laughed. They began laughing at him. Laughing at the Son of God. Laughing at the guy that could raise the dead. Laughing at the guy that just got through healing a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Laughed at the guy who caused the blind to see. Laughed at the guy who let the lame to walk again. They laughed at this guy because he said, she's not dead. She's only asleep. And they're saying to him, son of God, what do you know? You don't know nothing. This girl's dead. A lot of people are trying to crush the very spiritual life out of you, and they're trying to say, what do you know? What does Jesus know? Verse 40 said, they began laughing at him, putting them out. He took the child's father and mother and his companions and entered the room where the child was. Remember, when the crowd gets thin, you're the only one. Sometimes the crowd has to thin out for you to see the power of God work. Verse 41 says, taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the child got up and began to walk, for she was how old? 12 years old. Now, do y'all remember that number 12? A new beginning, a new foundation. This girl had died, now she had a new life. The woman was a social outcast with a blood issue for 12 years. Now she's at peace. Immediately, they were completely astounded. And he said to them, gave them strict orders that they should say, that one should not say, let me start again. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given her to eat. Now I know she's a pre-teenager. Because once they hit that stage, they don't ever quit eating. And she was hungry. There was a new beginning. A new beginning. So, you are one. You are only one, but when the crowd thins out, you are the one. So now what he's asking you to do, be one. Practice the principles. Be one. Because the fact about the matter is, you never get too old for your senses to be trained. And once your senses are trained, then you need to train others. Okay, I love that cow. Yeah, separate those two. What is it going to be? What is it going to be? Milk or meat? Let's pray. Father, we come into your presence because we worship you. Lord, we are one. We're not the only one. But when the crowd thins out, we're the one. Help us to be one. Move us beyond the bottle. Help us to listen to our trainers, the Holy Spirit, parents, peers who are studying the Word of Righteousness, the church, and other Christians. Truth is, God, we all need to continuously be trained. But once we have been trained and we know the difference between good and evil, help us to teach others. Let the younger teach the older. Let the older women teach the younger women. Let the older men teach the younger men. And yet the young men, let them live the life that would be honorable unto you, O God. And for those of us who have neglected the word of righteousness, I pray for forgiveness. And for those who do not have compassion, I pray for forgiveness. And for those who are suffering right now, I pray for encouragement. For those who need to come to know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, they'll step up. Lord, we really do have a big question in front of us. Are we going to live our life on the bottle? Are we going to get in the race and eat meat? We are your people. Guide us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, what do we do? I think we really come to grips with this and we ask ourselves the question, are we drinking milk or are we eating meat? Do we know the difference between good and evil, and are we teaching it? I suggest to you today that some of us need just to commit ourselves afresh to God. I also suggest to you, some of you may have not ever experienced even the milk. You've never experienced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So what do? You do the same thing as these two young men did. They repented of their sins, and they believed in Jesus Christ. That's what they did. Do they know all of what happened? No. Will they know more as they get older? Yes. But Jesus says all of us must come to Him by simple faith. Childlike faith. That's the only way. You cannot come into the kingdom of God unless you enter with childlike faith. So if you've not entered the kingdom of God, I encourage you this morning to receive Christ. And if you have, man, come tell me about it. If you want me to pray with you, I'd love to. Some of you may have some friends and all that you need to pray about. Prayer altars are open. So during this time of decision and people making decisions for Christ, some will go to the altar, some will make decisions right where they're standing, and some will come forward. Your senses need to be trained. And let us be about the Father's work. Let's stand together during this time.